Anyway, sorry. Yes, it is. Only microphones in that bag.
These work?
Yeah, these, that one and those two. These are sketchy.
A couple of glitches. Good evening, everyone. At 6:05, I want to call the meeting to order. March 16, 2022, monthly meeting of the Odyssey Charter School Board of Directors. Start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So first order of business. Order of business, approval of minutes from December 13th and February 16th. Does anybody have a chance to review them? Do we have any comments or corrections to those minutes?
I had two minor corrections, but I think you made them, Ken, right? Yep,
yep.
I'm good.
I've got some typos to correct.
Okay.
Paul will hand over to me and I'll correct them. Nothing substantive.
Substantial. And I wasn't here. And then there's, I think it's page 5, Darren's last name is misspelled.
Thank you, Ken. Or Paul. Yes. I did notice that.
All right, thank you. So we have a motion to approve the minutes from December 13th and February 16th.
I'll motion. Oh, go ahead.
I'll second it.
Okay. I motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have public comments. Is anybody available for public comments? There's nobody here, so I'm guessing if anybody online signed up.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, who's that? This identifier.
Teresa Dawson.
Okay. You have 3 minutes for public comments. I'll time you. If you get close to that, I'll let you know.
Okay.
You can start whenever you wish. Thank you.
Thank you. We are writing to express our sincere disappointment in your decision to not offer the teacher director position on the board of directors to Katie Manley. Katie has been an employee at Odyssey for 9 years, is a parent of Odyssey students, coaches OCS sports teams, and helps with other clubs and activities in the school. Katie has dedicated her time, talents, and energy to Odyssey for many years. She truly wants the school to be the best it can be. As the president of the teachers union at OCS, Katie has done a great job of trying to keep open lines of communication with the board of directors. She has worked to repair a rift that was created between the teachers and the board years ago when board members openly referred to teachers as pizza makers who could be easily replaced, and teachers who were told it means nothing when they expressed concerns to the board. Offering the teacher position on the board to Katie would have been an olive branch from the board to the teachers, showing that they would like to repair that rift that was created years ago. Katie was willing to step down as the teachers union president if given the opportunity to serve on the board. Since Katie has been the president of the union since its inception, stepping down from that position to be on Odyssey's board would be a big step, and yet she was willing to do it for the good of the school. Unfortunately, it appears that some people have difficulty separating Katie's role as union president from Katie Manley, the person, teacher, parent, coach. As president of the union, Katie's role is to represent the concerns of the teachers, even when they may not be her personal concerns or beliefs. She's able to separate her personal feelings from her position. Isn't the ability to represent others' concerns and thoughts exactly what the teacher representative on the board is supposed to do? Therefore, there's no better candidate for the position. According to the information on Odyssey's website, The non-HEPA nominating committee will seek to fill seats in a manner consistent with furthering the strategic mission of the corporation in an open and transparent manner. While the teachers did receive a couple of emails asking for teachers to apply for this board seat, no further information has been provided. We may have missed an announcement about the candidates, but we do not recall seeing or hearing their names announced anywhere. Wouldn't naming the candidates be included in an open and transparent process? Additionally, the Odyssey website states the non-HEPA board members should conduct interviews and other necessary tasks to vet all candidates. Other than interviewing the candidates, were any other necessary tasks conducted, such as talking to the teachers whom she would be representing? Was her record of roles and responsibilities discussed with any of her direct supervisors? We believe that you would be hard-pressed to find anyone who would better represent Odyssey's teachers on the board of directors. She knows the school from the inside out and has worked tirelessly to address concerns. She has a vested interest in the good of the school for the sake of the staff, students, and her own daughters. For these reasons, Katie has worked to repair some fractured relationships with the board in order to promote a healthier and more transparent relationship between the teachers and the board. It is disappointing that she will not have the opportunity to further these relationships as a member of the board. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Dawson.
We should probably note that once that comment that was just read was received, the board reverted to its pre-COVID protocols of requiring people to name themselves when reading, which we waived for the past year and a half. So going forward, as we were notified after that comment was received, we're going back to pre-COVID protocols.
Thanks, Eric. Val, do we have any other folks that want to make public comments? Thank you. We can move on to the next. Next item is the head of school report. Mr. Pappas.
We're not on a meeting, right?
Right.
So if you talk, just stop. Yeah, not here. Got it. Okay. All right. Let me really quickly share my screen. Good evening, everybody. And welcome. Okay, so head of schools report, we will start with our COVID updates. We are still following our protocols with respect to using Quidel as our testing unit. Our lower school will test on April 5th. The intermediate school will test on on March 12th, middle school on March 22nd, and high school on March 29th. Our current positive cases year to date are listed above, and we also have our regular chart that we use and refer to, but there are no further updates at this time. Since moving to mask-free, there hasn't been any real movement in any one direction to report back to families, which is all good news. Our test-to-stay program, it has been closed. It's closed by the state of Delaware at this time. So again, we urge people and folks to please do not send your children to school when they're ill. There is a rise in other illnesses right now on campus. We're experiencing multiple cases of influenza, RSV, strep throat, and colds. Please keep your child home if they are ill. Students should not come to school if they have had a fever in the last 24 hours. We are still highly recommending vaccination, specifically for the COVID virus. And student and staff are continuing with their 10-day quarantine period, isolation at home for the first 5 days. On day 6 to 10, they may return to campus, must wear masks at all times except when eating. Close contacts are no longer notified unless they reside within the same household. The plan for spring break moving forward, Odyssey has applied to DPH to obtain one free take-home test for every student and staff member. Ideally, these tests would be given out on the last day on campus before spring break, and then students and staff would be able to use these tests at home before they try to return to campus, which will help keep us safe. Moving on to our culture focus, we have a few things that are going on. We have Greek Heritage Night at the Sixers game, and we've sold over 225 tickets for that. So there's only a few tickets left, so if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, please do so. We have a family barbecue coming up that's in the planning stages for the spring. We're very excited. That's for our newest families. We have our chat and choose that we've just gotten started. And those are opportunities for various members at different levels to have opportunities to kind of like share ideas with administration and exchange ideas, concerns, potential adjustments that we can make in the future. They've been very helpful, and we appreciate everybody that has been involved in these. I certainly appreciate hearing the feedback firsthand. We are assisting the third EPP cohort with planning of their LGBTQ plus workshop that they're putting together. And we're collaborating with the transportation department to plan an appreciation barbecue for them as well. So that's what's going on in the culture front. In terms of building level updates, in our lower school parent teacher conferences were great. They were really good. And we had the option this year of in-person and Zoom, which is kind of like a remnant of protocol of COVID, but it's been beneficial because we can see more parents that way. Our SEL program has launched in the K-2 as well, and we're planning to hit the ground running with that next year as a full-fledged program. Focuses on empathy, supporting positive peer interactions, and reinforcing strong behavioral expectations. We're planning for Greek Independence Day celebrations with the Greek department. We look forward to to high attendance at the Independence Day parade in downtown as well on March 20th in Philadelphia. We'll be sending out a schedule of events for this, so please look for Blast to come out with this, exactly what's happening on those particular days, because there's also going to be a flag raising ceremony at Freedom Plaza that's going on at 11 o'clock, and then we have the things that are going on over here as well. It's a lot of wonderful activities. We'd love for people to participate and be a part of it, so please look for that schedule. It is coming out soon. We apologize for not having it out sooner. It's just some of these things are not Odyssey-controlled things, so we have to kind of bring all the pieces together, and then we'll get that schedule out. Building tours are still occurring every single Tuesday, and we're enjoying, showing our prospective Odyssey, families what things are looking like over here. And we've scheduled our annual state-sponsored Be Smart Child Abuse Prevention Program for the beginning of April. The intermediate school Greek and English conferences have already occurred. Parent-teacher conferences had a large number of parents and guardians who attended, which is fantastic. Once again, and our fifth grade BizTown economics field trip is the 29th of March and the 30th of March. Reading Under the Stars is going to be on Thursday, April 7th, I'm sorry, from 4:30 to 6:30 in the courtyard. We've talked about some of our programs that have already started in the middle schools, I'm sorry, in the intermediate school as well, and they are still moving forward. Now, in terms of field trips in the middle school, we have an out-of-state field trip that we're looking for approval. Our BPA, the Business Professionals of America, a lot of them have made it to the finals, and the finals are in Texas, and they're in May. So we're really excited. We have a huge representation that's going over there, so we're going to be looking for some obviously approval for that, and then some help to get some of this paid for, because it's an expensive trip. And we do have a Philadelphia Museum of Arts trip for the art classes in May coming up. So the Middle School Business Professionals of America Club Advisors, Ms. Buzgon and Ms. Short, are pleased to announce the following students who competed in the presentation management event will also be going to the national competition. Parisha Dalta, Asvika Govindnathan, Sahasara Mudunuri, and Subikshka Vidya Srinivasan. Additionally, these students, along with the advisors, have been invited to attend the Digital Design Day at the J.P. Morgan Chase building on April the 14th. This includes site tours, a leadership pizza party, and an opportunity to present and demonstrate their award-winning performances, their abilities to subject matter experts in business and operations and technology, and really get themselves outwardly facing into the professional community. The presentations will be broadcast over Zoom, so that allows for the staff outside of Delaware to watch the presentation, evaluate the performances, and provide feedback. And this is a wonderful opportunity for our kids, obviously. Our current eighth grade students went to the high school on the 14th of March and the 15th to select their courses for the following school year. And we are very excited for them to be joining Odyssey Charter High School. We do have a significant amount of eighth graders that have already committed to the high school. We look forward to seeing a lot more of them commit as well. The choice window commitment date is March 18th, so it's coming up. So please make sure that you commit on time. We also, I'd like to also report on a side note that We also have significant commitments from community schools as well. Over 100% increase in commitments from. In addition to that, we have the Honors Academy, which is in an informational session on the 21st. This is a brand new program. It's a very rigorous program for our eighth graders where we'll have the opportunity to start taking ninth grade classes in eighth grade. And invitations have been sent out to families for information. We look forward to spreading the good news regarding our new Honors Academy. Seventh grade field trip to the National Constitution Center is scheduled for the 24th as well. In high school, there are a lot of things to shout out over here. We have a lot of good things going on over there as well. College acceptances continue to roll in. Over 40 different universities spanning 20 states, from Florida to New York to California to Louisiana. We're still waiting for a few more. It's really awesome to see the progress of the students and our students looking and understanding that there are opportunities across the country, not just right here in Delaware. I think that's a huge testament because last year, I believe we were represented by 14 states, and now we're already in 20 states for this year. So this is phenomenal growth. As we move towards the spring, we have finalized our 2022-23 course catalog as well and made available to students and families. The course selection for the rising seniors in our class of 23 was completed, and rising sophomores and juniors will complete theirs right now in April. Shout out to our counselors for trying to get that together. That's a lot of work for them. We appreciate all of the work that they're doing, and educational diagnosticians and everybody else on the team, and Ashley for putting all that together and pushing everybody forward, and Eric obviously for helping out with that as well. We'd like to also shout out the following students who received who recently competed in the entrepreneurship course and presented on customer service aspects of Apple battery life controversy. And we have Ariam Babsar, we have Jason Kamau, Ian Lester, and Aaron Munene. And then in team two, we had Noah Bretsky, we had Amelia Castillo, Jennifer Choi, and Noel Northrup. And then in team three, we had Ryan Laguyo, Mitchell Smith, Jordan Wright, and Julie Yost. In terms of the school choice process, as I mentioned before, is definitely going to lead to us having the largest ninth grade class we've had by significant margins. And we're also accepting some limited seats in 10th grade. We still have a few seats left in 10th grade. We've concluded our fourth and final Friday event. And today we had one. It was very, very successful. These Friday events have proved to be very valuable opportunities, both for students and families, to kind of see what it is like during a day at school over here. So these are eighth grade families, and we had a ninth grade family here today as well, that got to live and breathe an Odyssey Charter School day and experience it. I had them in my class actually this morning, some of these kids. It was fantastic. Rising ninth graders who are current OCS students are planning possibly attending the OCHS in the fall, came over to the high school on Monday and Tuesday of this week for their course selections, as we mentioned before. And look at our CTE pathways. So the class of 2026 will join the high school students in a pep rally tomorrow as well. So there's a big pep rally going on in the high school. I know there's some pie in the face competitions, and hopefully I'm not one that's chosen for that. And some other things that are going along with that. We have a step team. The step team looks phenomenal, by the way. I watched them practicing. It was really cool. So if you have an opportunity to watch them, it would be great as well. We're also recruiting families who would like to potentially host a foreign exchange student in the fall. If you're interested, please email Ms. Lipson, and she can tell you all about that. We'd also like to recognize accomplishments for this month. We'd like to congratulate our BPA advisors, Ms. Jackie Brandt and Ms. Sunny Chalima, along with all the chapter members who did a phenomenal job at their recent competition. These students have accepted applications to go to the Dallas, Texas event for the finals, the national finals, in May 4th through 8th against other high schools in the country. And just to put this into a proper perspective, this is also the time when AP exams are happening. This is also the time that students are taking SATs, and they're doing this as well. So this is quite an accomplishment for these students. They're doing a lot of things at the same time. So Ayman Ahmed, Rishi Babsar, Isabella Mendoza,
It seems like the audio has been lost.
Yeah, I'm texting them now, Ashley, to see what's going on.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay, I'm unmuting mine so I can continue, and then once we get our technical difficulty solved, we'll move on from there. Anyway, the invited applicants from the initial round have until March 18th, and this is statewide, to accept their invitations. It sounds like that computer just gave up on life. So waitlisted families have begun to be offered seats this week, and we will continue to do that as we continue to monitor the data coming in on the acceptances. So please do sign up by March 18th, because time is going to run out, and then your opportunity to have that will also run out. Okay, so yeah, we're having some serious technical difficulties here. And I'm seeing like a delay. You can hear it though? Okay, so I'll ignore the delay. All right. Curriculum, we've already spoken to a lot of the curriculum pieces before. We are piloting several curriculums. That's still going on. Benchmark data is being worked through. Dr. Thompson is analyzing a lot of this data to differentiate and also figure out what needs we have and how we should be using our rhyme time more effectively to make sure that we're pushing all the kids over the top, especially as we get into SBAC season. This is going to be critically important for us. 100% of our eighth graders also took the DESSA social studies field test on the 24th, like we mentioned. And SBACs are, the scheduling is underway. So final schedules should come out very, very soon. Expect it to be in May. That's when we typically do this. High school biology, high school world history. These students taking biology and world history will be taking the Pearson assessment this May. The students will be notified if they are testing after spring break. The testing will take place the third week of May. SATs and PSATs, the SAT 11 will take place on March 30th. Our 9th, 10th, and 12th graders will be asynchronous that day as a result. And the PSAT will take place on Wednesday, April 13th for the 9th and the 10th grade. Our 11th and 12th graders will be asynchronous on that day. If you have any questions regarding the testing schedule, please email Ms. Sheehan and she'll be able to give you a little bit more information on that. Moving on to some of our other pieces, the financial updates, I think we're gonna allow for Jeff to do, Mr. Koss. So a couple quick whole school announcements. The restorative practices level 2 training, which we did a first one in November, that is March 28th. So all staff will receive training once again. And we have done, we've just launched one-on-one social emotional check-ins with teachers and administration. These are monthly now, and they're non-academic. They're basically, you know, trying to find out emotionally, mentally, where we are, what do we need to do? How do we need to be supporting people properly? And those are happening across all buildings. From a transportation perspective, February 2022, our fleet ran 99.996% on time. We ran 900 routes and we had three of them that were more than 10 minutes late. The latest bus was a first student bus that ran 22 minutes late one time. OCS did fill in when needed to support our contractor five times in February. Preparing for the 2022-23 school year, we have bus purchases that we're looking at. We talked about the potential of four more buses, updated routes, including updated activity routes, the start and end times being adjusted accordingly as well. These are all being reviewed now and we will communicate as soon as possible once we have the new information. And again, on our website, we have the transportation dashboard, which indicates our on-time percentages monthly for you. Student services, lots of things in student services as well. English, the access for English language learners 2021-22 testing is now complete, and that's a heck of a task. So thank you, Laura, for taking care of that for us. The score and the entire team. I mean, I'm sure there were quite a few other people, Allison in there as well, helping out with that. Score reports will be delivered in mid-May to share with families. The ELL department is now piloting the Lexia English program for grades K-6 through the end of the school year. This is an adaptive blended learning program that supports emergent bilingual students English language acquisition through the academic conversations. So we have that going on. MTSS, we're working on a complete restructure of our multi-tiered behavioral support systems and support systems, student support systems overall, with cycles, and they'll be completely revamped for next year, so that they're that allows for more flexibility between the tiers of students of student support. We're also beginning to work on the Summer Learning Leap program. This is our kind of our summer school program that we have. We'll identify the students that need support in the specific areas for the Learning Leap, and then those parents will be contacted. The transition fair for students with disabilities is taking place March 24th from 5 to 8 at the Chase Center. Odyssey has helped to support the charter school input at the Newcastle County transition meetings. They raised $452 for the Delaware Down Syndrome Association. The OCS community will wear mismatched socks on March 21st to represent that due to Trisomy 21. And then the Parent Council for Students with Disabilities will have their second meeting April 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. The focus will be on transition services for our secondary students and led by our own Jessica Inske. We are also working on the summer programming and eligible students for that. And we're going to begin to review student scheduling based on the needs using the Stetson model and collaborative model teaching for next year. IT is still making their transition, Blackboard transition to mass notification. We're also going to speak to some other things for IT today, I believe, in the good of the school section, right? In terms of purchases that we're going to need for next year. So we'll refer to that in a little while. Facilities, as we've talked about before, the scoreboard is, we're just waiting for them to deliver it. All the electrical work is done. All the digging has been done. We are ready to roll. So just excited to get that in and the panel completed so that we can start using the scoreboard effectively. Staffing for our facilities department, all facilities employees are working right now and they're all on staff. Custodial employees, 12 out of the 13 are working. One's on an extended medical leave. We do have some other things that are going on. We're spackling and painting a little bit and stuff like that. As you can see, most of the things are operating normally. I'm not going to get into every single roof unit top, but most of the things are either functioning properly or they're being serviced right now. Updates for fundraising. The details of our current development and fundraising priorities are included in the fundraising committee's report. And our inaugural annual appeal has been sent out by email to families of the Odyssey Charter School. We have a good initial response to our appeal, including a number of monthly pledges. So we're really proud of that. Thank you to those that already began pledging to the school. If you haven't done so, please consider doing so. I think it's just really important to note, we will start talking about this a little bit more. The charter schools do not receive facilities funds. So we're automatically behind the eight ball compared to a regular district school in terms of money that's available to us. And the cost of educating the students at Odyssey in terms of money received versus the cost of education is about a $1,400 difference per student. So there is that gap that needs to be made. And this annual appeal is part of us making up that gap. We've established templates for our annual appeal and thank you letters. And the first batch of letters have already gone out. Once the donations level off, we plan a second solicitation to focus on those not yet contributing. A quarterly development newsletter will soon be kicked off, featuring the development news, supporting our fundraising activities, and updating our community on the status of our annual appeal campaign. Our work is also underway to create and execute a corporate sponsorship appeal. This is planned as a mailed with email follow-up appeal to offer 40 targeted corporate entities sponsorship opportunities. We'll also offer sponsorship for our golf outing, color run, the bricks, and other sponsorships to include the scoreboard logo sponsorship, bleacher ads, school activities funds, as well as other current projects like a new playground, which may be necessary depending on how things develop with some other initiatives that are going on. Going forward, we will invest time in the CRM setup and integration, and we look forward to that. From an HR perspective, we are hosting our very first area AREA teacher recruitment fair on March 26th, right here at OCS. We're planning a recruiting fair that's going to be on campus right over here in April as well. We are partnering with Dr. Lukaku to create and identify recruiting opportunities to attract qualified candidates specifically for the Greek department as well. I think it's just, it may be area, but I know that Renee put that part in. So since it's all caps, I'm going to go ahead and go with it. I'm going to go with AREA, but it could be area. Renee, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, maybe she can text me.
It is hosted.
But we are doing a recruiting fair. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that right here on campus. We're also actively working on H-1Bs and green cards for several Greek staff members. We do have staff members that have been with us for quite some time now, and it's exciting to note that they're in a position to get green cards now. And that's great. Great for the school, great for them, great for the United States. Completed school-wide sexual harassment training was done in compliance with the Title IX. Everybody was trained on that last week. We are partnering with the curriculum coordinator to host new hire seasoned staff biweekly chat and choose now, which we referenced before, which is working, and we're looking at areas where efficiencies can be found. AREA is the name of the fair.
Yes,
it is the name of the fair. Yeah.
It doesn't really define it.
Yeah.
It's run through the state.
Yeah. We are developing online SOPs and PDs for various HR areas. This is a new thing that we're trying to do now as part of our process. Because we onboard people throughout the year, one of the challenges is that when you have all of your professional development at the beginning of the year, and then they come in later in the year, they're missing out a lot of that professional development. And sometimes those members may not feel as equipped to enter right into the school community as others. So we're trying to create a lot of different resources, including virtual resources, so that training can be ongoing throughout the year. And they can go into a portal and train if they weren't able to make it for whatever. But it's also for, you know, other PDs like paid parental leaves, benefits, qualifying events, new employee orientations, onboarding documentation, J-1 visa holder procedures, license and certification verification of employment processes, all easy access, easy to look at videos or YouTube videos so that we can always know what are some of these processes are that are in place. In terms of board approvals, a couple things, the BPA Nationals that we talked about in Dallas, Texas, for the middle school and the high school, including their individuals, and the draft calendar, which I know that we shared last week, and we're hoping to have that initially approved so that we can present that to the state in April. And I think that's pretty much it for today, guys.
Sorry, dealing with some technical issues here.
Thanks. Why don't we do the travel approvals now? So we have a motion to approve out of state travel.
A motion to approve.
You have a second? You have a second or a second? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Did we approve the out-of-state travel for the basketball game last time?
We did.
Okay, I thought we did. I just wanted to make sure. No, that's a big event, too. Okay.
I wasn't sure about the Philadelphia Museum. Do you recall if we did that?
I want to say that we did, but we might as well just reapprove it. No harm in reapproving it.
Yeah.
I want to say it was on last month, but we're probably taking a few minutes. I don't think it was in the minutes.
I move that we approve the high school students going to the Philadelphia Art Museum in May.
I'll second.
Do we have a date?
It's middle school.
Middle school. Thank you.
It's middle school. Constitution Center was approved, but not the art museum.
Got it. Thank you, Adrian. All right. We have a motion and a second.
Need a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Any opposed? All right, that motion approved to travel with that as well too. Next up, I see Carl here. Was Carl gonna make any comments about fundraising or not? I don't. Are we good? I'm just asking.
You can bet at the committee portion.
Okay, got it. Next up is the Greek program. Are we gonna do finances after that? Yep. All right. Why don't we do that? That's what we have it in the agenda. So, Dr. Lukaku.
Good evening, everyone, from me and from the Greek program. I would like to inform you that we continue our collaboration with the Pierce College in Greece, the collaboration between the Pierce College and our middle school. So our students from Greece shared their experience from the Greek Carnival. The Greek Carnival just finished 2 weeks ago. And now both groups in the US and in Greece are getting ready to share their experiences and their ideas about the Greek Independence Day that is coming in a week. The second thing that I would like to share with you is that the Greek program participates weekly in the tours that they are taking place in law school. And for us, it's a great opportunity to meet prospective families who want really to experience our programs in action. And it's a very positive experience to see the families, to be there, address their questions, their concerns, and have this first contact. Next, I would like to let you know that we are getting ready for the Ellinomathia exam, the second this year, actually, in May. The coordinator of the Ellinomathia exam, Ms. Kyriakoula Miha, is working diligently for the preparation of the exam, and all the information is on our website. Last but not least is the Greek Independence Day. Mr. Papa said already a few things that they're going to happen next week. The first is the parade this Sunday, the 20th, in Philadelphia. We encourage everybody to participate and come with us, march for the Greek Independence Day. We are providing free transportation from the school to the parade and back to school. We sent out to the community a form to apply for the free transportation. I think the deadline is tonight, so please check out your emails if you want to participate and come using our buses, riding our buses. And then in the week, we have events at school. All week long, we are going to celebrate with our students, talking about the Independence Day, making arts and crafts, and then on Thursday, we are going to have our big events, mostly in lower school and middle school and intermediate school. We're going to send out a program, a schedule with all our events, so the community is aware of how we are going to celebrate Greek Independence Day 201 year after 1821. That's all for me.
Any questions for Dr. Lukaku? Did you state exactly who's going to be going to the parade on Sunday? Are we sending a contingent of students there? Or
we are
how is
sending
it?
Students there. I don't know who they are.
Okay.
There's a sign up, but I don't know.
Okay, they'll just be marching in the parade with an Odyssey banner or something along those lines.
The Odyssey band is not going to be performing. It's just going to be
no, banner. Banner.
Or banner with the banner, yeah.
The banner. Okay. All right. But that they're still being gathered and recruited, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're being gathered and recruited. I know there's buses available as well.
Okay.
I want to say the bus leaves at 11 sharp from over here.
And I know we'd also approved last week, there's a pre-event on Saturday, a dinner up to that.
We're not sending students in.
Okay. Okay. Any staff members going?
I can probably
go. Okay. I'm just curious. We can talk more about the status of that after. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Lukaku.
Sure.
Next up is a financial report, Jeff.
All right. I'll unmute. Good evening. Actually,
All right, we good now? All right. Good evening, members of the OCS. I'm unmuted, I believe. Before I get started, I wanted to, Elias mentioned the presentation at the high school for the NAF and the students that were able to present their projects on their customer service aspects of the Apple battery life controversy. Board Treasurer Aaron Allard and I were lucky enough to sit on the panel for that, and it was a fun hour in the morning at the high school last week. And for us, it was amazing, and the kids were great, and it was very professionally done, and it was a fun time. So I want to he shouted those students out, but double kudos to them. So there's a couple things we're gonna go over at different points of the board meeting. So for now, I'm just going to focus on the monthly report per normal for approval, and then we can go over the final budget proposal and the proposal for items in for 2023 in good of the school. So I'm going to share screen. This is the monthly report for February 2022. The period ending February 22 represents 8 months or 2/3 of the fiscal year. The preliminary budgeted revenues are $37.8 million, and revenues collected to date are $36.3 million, which represent 96% of the total budgeted revenues for the year. Revenues received during February were pretty consistent, and I'll touch on a couple of them in a moment with previous months. Expenditures, as we mentioned, the preliminary budget for expenses was $30.4 million, which includes contingency. And expenses to date are $20.6 million, with encumbrances of $188,000, representing 68% of the budget. It's kind of right in line where we expect to be throughout the fiscal year. During the month of February, the Transportation Department was awarded a $26,000 federal grant to assist with driver retention. Sort of understanding the national shortage that all areas of the state and the country are feeling in that regard. The final portion of the Christina School District settlement funds was received in the local district transfers. As Elias mentioned, and Carl probably touch on, the annual appeal has begun and some funds have been received regarding that. And this is my PSA for the athletics golf outing as the fundraiser is underway. At this point, I think about half of the availability has been reserved. So there are still golfer spots available, as well as corporate sponsorships and volunteers for the course. We can always use that. Adjustments in volume variable programming is kind of, I'll go touch in a little bit further in the final budget process. To date, $1.2 million of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted $1.96 million. And the projected year-end cash on hand is $8.4 million, of which $6.9 million is unrestricted and $1.5 million is restricted for federal funds. That concludes monthly report for February.
Any questions for Jeff on the monthly report? On the first slide, the numbers you mentioned in terms of revenues were different on the slide than what you had mentioned. You mentioned $36.3 million. Is that
possible that the slide may not have been updated from the previous month? So yeah, 36.3 is accurate for February.
Okay. Motion to approve the monthly web report. Right, do we have a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those online can raise their hands. Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Go ahead and post the monthly report. Are you also giving the CBOC report today?
Yeah, I can do that too. Whenever that, I can do that now.
No. Do you have something else besides that?
Not till good of the school.
Okay. Yeah, then why don't we do the CBOC report?
Sure. So CBOC did meet this evening at 5:15. We reviewed the February 22 monthly financials like we just discussed. It was mentioned that the final budget is proposed at tonight's board meeting, and so it'll be discussed more in detail with that committee in the following month, and that we reviewed and answered all questions regarding the P-card transactions.
Now, do you guys put together, I know previously we've been, the CBOC had been putting together minutes of their meetings in terms of actions. Do you have those, and can you send those out every month when you guys get them done, just the board members, just so we have them?
Sure, I believe they're posted on the school website too, but yeah, I do have those.
Okay, yeah, I'd be appreciative if we can kind of get them in the inbox if anybody wants to scroll through them and add any questions after.
Sure, yeah, I'll reach out to Evan and see if you can do that.
Okay. Any other questions for CBOC? All right, thank you. Good on your end. Next up is committee reports. We'll just go through the list. DE&I committee, do we have any updates for the DE&I committee? Helen or Eva?
I have a couple of things, a couple awesome initiatives. The first one is finally.
Hold on, my speaker's off. That's why I can't hear you.
You hear me?
You hear me?
Now I can hear. We can hear you now.
Right. So right. We have a couple great initiatives. The first one is that finally our last EPP cohort, and again, EPP stands for Equity Practitioners Program, under the support of the Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Committee, is hosting a workshop on LGBTQ, BTQ plus issues on Tuesday, April 5th in the high school cafeteria at 6 p.m. The aim of the event is to educate and empower the participants in ways to reduce discrimination and support our students. The event is open to and free to all OCS parents, guardians, and staff. I heard before the meeting that we may be joining, inviting other schools to join us. And the presentation will be done by the United Way Pride Council. So, and the flyer is going to go tomorrow, I believe, in the newsletter with information on how to register to attend. It's going to be an in-person event. So that's the one event that is coming up. The second initiative already took place. The OCS Outreach Committee, which is also a branch of the DE&I Committee, joined forces with the high school's Melissa Tracy. And we collected a whole lot of supplies that were sent to Ukraine. We pretty much semi-emptied our food pantry. We were able to collect warm clothing. I believe it was 12 coats and 40 plus sweaters and blankets and hats and mittens and food with self-stable food. We filled two cars and they were delivered to a company that is going to ship them to Ukraine. Many thanks to Melissa Tracy for this initiative and to Paula Law, who is always supporting all these events. And as our food pantry is now semi-depleted, we accept donations. So that's all from me.
Thank you, Eva. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Eva on the DE&I work? Next up is the Immersion Committee. Anna Marie, anything? Any updates from the Immersion Committee? Is Anna Marie on?
I don't think Anna Marie's on. No, she's not.
All right. Fundraising Committee. Georgia.
Good evening, everyone.
Georgia, how are you doing?
Good. We did have a Zoom fundraising committee meeting, and it was headed by our new Odyssey Charter School Development Director, Mr. Carl Colantano. I hope I said it right. And I think he's there tonight at the meeting. So briefly, I think our head of school, Mr. Pappas, went over the annual appeal, the golf outing, some of the signature events, the corporate sponsorship package, and we want to do the capital campaign restart. So I think a lot of that was mentioned by our head of school, but I would like to introduce Mr. Carl, and if anyone has any questions or he can give us a little bit more insight into the fundraising committee and his help at the school.
I'm going to be Jeff here for a minute. Hello, everybody. Carl Colin Tuno here, and pleased to meet those of you I haven't met yet. I've had the opportunity to meet several of you and have the benefit of your assistance on some of the work I'm doing. So I do have a copy of the committee's report, and I won't waste your time by repeating things, but there's a couple of things that might be additional. So yes, we mentioned annual appeal. One of the things we're hoping that to do is the benefits will position us in the philanthropic community regarding the expectations that we've begun to raise from our own constituency. So that's a benefit. And we will be soon making a second ask, and we'll be asking now to the end of the year, those who have not responded. The beautiful thing about this is that at the same time, we're bringing up our CRM, customer relationship management system, and we have it automatically tied to our PayPal. So at some point, transactions will automatically come in, cutting administrative overhead, and automatic letters will go out. And as we get a big set of data, we'll be able to analyze it and create relationship with those who are our sponsors, our patrons. So it's the beginning. We have to start with this data. This annual appeal is email only. We'll continue as such. We did seek a quotation from a vendor, and we have that in hand. It's a little out of scope. He wanted to sell us everything under the sun. So we're not prepared to release that at this time. We'll take a look at it. We will be starting a development newsletter, which would be a way to communicate with those who have engaged us as patrons to provide information on development. So this will give you an idea of what's happening with the annual campaign, what's happening with different types of fundraisers and such. So basically a two-way communication. They can drop an email to us, we can respond. Some of the things we talked about was there are 40 corporate contacts that were involved in our 5K run years ago with the HEPA folks. And it represents a database of name, address, email, phone number. So those 40 corporate contacts will get the corporate sponsorship package. So we're making a high return on investment package that'll include all the things we have to sell, which we're starting out very simply with the kind of things that corporate America likes, golf, color run, which might become 5K, a fund for teacher support, a fund for playgrounds, you name it. So we'll create a top-down $20,000 gives you this, $10,000. And so we'll be doing that. That's under construction. We'll send that out to those 40. And between now and September, we'll find another 40 or 50, and then we'll start engaging. So that campaign continues to the end of the year until everybody's either gotten tired of hearing from me or has given us money. And then at the same time, we'll be bringing online our philanthropic re-ask. So years ago, we got $1.2 million from Longwood. Once we've been able to tell the story about how we have spent that money and where we plan to spend it again, we'll be doing additional asks to all of our philanthropic community. So that's between now and year end. We're hoping to build a database so we can then start the concept of major gift ask, which would be going after people who have greater means. Between now and then, we'll build the collateral for that and the relationship for that. So we're really building the underpinnings of our development effort. I mean, the school is kind of unique. Its development effort exists in little pockets everywhere. Everyone has a piece of it. So coordinating it and bringing it under one guiding principle has been a challenge, but a lot of help is coming from the folks that understand what we're trying to do. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you tonight. And as Georgia said, I'm here to answer any questions if you like, including how to pronounce my name.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate it. And for those of you who don't know, this is Carl's first appearance on Zoom, but Carl is a development director. You've probably gotten some emails from him. We're very lucky to have him. He's a former development director at Salvation Army, but he's working here now part-time at Odyssey, helping us to really build up the fundraising efforts here. Carl had actually applied for a board position a while ago as a community member, but we felt this was a better role for him, so we steered him over here. And we're really lucky to have him. And so hopefully we can continue in this process of kind of really building out the fundraising. So we're putting the foundations together and really starting to get things in motion. And Carl's doing a fantastic job working with the fundraising committee in Georgia and Anne Marie and those folks and Mary Ann.
Thank you very much.
Support that. So thanks, Carl. Any questions for Carl or anything? Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Next up, finance. Turn that off. Finance committee, go ahead.
We had a finance committee meeting Friday,
And we discussed a number of items, including work with investors related to bond financing and potential for assessing how the school might sort of bring into place different structures to enable our ability to accelerate some of the other issues that we have on the plate. We also talked through a number of real estate items, which we'll discuss in the in executive session tonight, and the minor modification to the charter, which we met with CSAC on Monday to discuss. So relatively standard meeting. I would call out, we do post these on the website, and whenever we have a board meeting before one is scheduled, we announce it here, but we welcome anyone's participation who is available and willing to join. So please be on the lookout. And I think that's it for finance.
Thank you, Aaron. Last up is the non-HIPAA nominating committee. So the non-HIPAA nominating committee, we've given reports over the past few weeks, but they met last night and affirmed that Jessica Inske, teacher, educational diagnostician from the high school, will be the new non-Greek program teacher representative on the board. So we're very excited to have Jessica join us tonight. She's one of our early career employees here at Odyssey. She's been around for a while, but it's great to have kind of that early career and that seasoned career teacher representation on the board to get those diverse perspectives. So we're really excited to have her start with the board and welcome. I don't know if anybody had any questions or comments or anything for her.
Can we switch? Can I come off?
You may.
Yeah.
I'm here with my regular sole person who voted differently and want to welcome Jessica and note that look forward to working with you collaboratively. I want to share just a little bit of reflection personally. I joined the board 2 years ago in after coming as a parent non-board member on the compliance committee, really looking forward to helping the community move forward out of what was a very painful time. And I think we have made incredible strides since then, I think at in all levels and in all sort of methods of working together. And so I'm really proud of that and really happy to have been a part of that. I was troubled by the process, not by the person. Jessica, again, nothing, looking forward to working with you. But I think when we looked at the process of how we assess the two candidates, there was a summary disqualification of someone whose body of work would be hard to disqualify if they had a different name. And if they hadn't stood up against a former board that had vast governance, transparency, and ethical issues. And it seems to me that we have set aside someone who's been a devoted member of the community for many years as a parent, as a teacher, as a sports coach, as an unofficial cheerleader for the staff and teachers, and as an official organizer who volunteered to step down from that capacity and to step up in a different capacity. I wasn't a part of the board a few years ago, and so I can't speak for how people might feel who are a part of the board and who are maybe on the opposite side of the table then, but I can say in the 2 years that I've been here, we have vigorously disagreed in many instances, but always very respectfully. We have all come together to work collaboratively, and I think the willingness on the part of, I'll just say Katie, because she was named in the public comments, to continue to come and try to work with the board, to invite us to the social sessions, to have week monthly meetings, to sometimes stand with the board during COVID and other times when we were doing some things that were kind of unpopular, really showed to me that there was the capacity to be a strong fiduciary representative and a representative of some of the staff who may not feel as represented on the board today. So I understand that the vote sort of is what it is. And again, we'll move forward. But I feel like going forward, we need to really hold ourselves to the same standard that we would hold our students and our staff to in terms of moving on beyond past pain and moving forward in a direction that's really collaborative and productive. That's all.
Thank you, Art. And I'm sure Jessica will be able to fulfill all those responsibilities. As in any process, there are always differences of opinions and different perspectives. In this case, the best candidate at this point in time won. So we're very happy to have Jessica on the board. and congratulations and welcome. We look forward to your support and the support of your fellow staff members and teachers, and I'm sure they'll be coming to you and Eva, as always, with questions and comments and bringing your perspectives to the board. We feel we'll be doing an excellent job in that capacity, so thank you. I guess that's it. I don't think we have any other committee reports to... That's it. Next order of business, PTO report. I don't believe the PTO will be giving a report today. Oh, were you going to give a PTO report?
She said, so here, are you on mute? I can read it. It's not public comment.
Did
you see it?
I don't have it.
Okay. I'm not echoing, am I? So I think on the board received an email from Kaya who was unable to make it tonight and noted that there will be a PTO meeting on March 31st, which will include financials, progress with fundraising, other, I don't have the list in front of me, but sort of what you would typically expect from a PTO meeting. So I assume we'll be seeing a public announcement coming out about that shortly, but she did note March 31st, I don't know the time, but March 31st was the date. And I think Jeff and I are still, there's an email today. Okay, so there's an email that it went out today, March 31st. I don't have other details though.
All right, thank you, Erin. Any new business? I'll think that the new way. Go to the school. Go ahead. Jeff.
That's weird. So there's two items we wanted to go over and go to the school. One, the first I'll go through is the final budget proposal for fiscal year 2022. Many of the things that I'm going to discuss as sort of the highlights of that, and I'll try to be brief, although I have a couple pages here. I'm going to share screen as well. Are kind of discussed during some of the monthly reports throughout the year, but this is kind of more of a formality of finalizing where we landed from an enrollment standpoint and a revenue standpoint and where actual expenditures are sort of falling. So as we've mentioned, the enrollment for September 30th, 2021 was 1,988 students, which was slightly above where the preliminary budget from July had the school. From the state operations revenue perspective, minimal enrollment increases coupled with minor changes in unit allocations and adjustments to staff employment history led to a $194,000 increase from the preliminary budget. Additionally, increases in other state revenue attributed to additional funding for mental health services, as well as a reimbursement for COVID substitutes amounted to an increase of $140,000. Transportation revenue was adjusted. We adjusted our contractor revenue down $140,000 based on reducing the number of routes provided to Red Clay Consolidated School District from 9 to 5. In local district transfers, as previously discussed, we adjusted the revenue down $240,000 from the preliminary budget. In aggregate, projected local funding decreased on a per pupil basis by approximately $104 per student, equating to a revenue decrease of overall of about $198,000 in local revenue, as the per pupil budget was expected to be flat from 2021. In a year-over-year analysis with the same student category breakdown, funding decreased from the Christina School District approximately $360,000, by far the largest impacting district. In addition, no interest income from the state has been allocated due to significant interest rate decreases from previous years. From a federal funding perspective, the associated expenses have been added to the budget in the grants department, and the total additional funding expected is $57,325. We spoke about one of those increases during the month of February for bus driver retention funding, and the other one was in the month of January for food service equipment increase. Cafeteria revenue has been adjusted as an increase of $188,000 to reflect the increase in meals provided on a daily basis. Aftercare revenue has been reduced by $50,000 to reflect the actual enrollment more accurately in the program. From an expenditure standpoint, in school operations, Salary was projected forward based on the February 11th pay cycle with minor adjustments and allowing for degree changes and other potential items. In addition, the preliminary budget is based on a projected salary for the entire year, while understanding that 10-month employees' salary remains the same during the months of July and most of August. So there is some anticipated savings inherently in the preliminary budget process. Subcategories of personnel costs are being evaluated for consistency purposes, with changes possibly coming in the FY23 preliminary budget. Temporary employment services increased by $125,000 and substitutes increased by close to $300,000. This portion of expenses is by far the largest variance from the preliminary budget. As mentioned consistently during the monthly report updates, the original assumption of COVID-19 reductions did not come to fruition in the mid-late fall through February of 2022. In addition, substitutes were utilized to fill academic vacancies to start the year, as well as mid-staff mid-year departures. Some of the increased expense will be covered by state reimbursement for substitutes related to COVID-19, as well as a portion of those hired for PPL purposes. Also, redundancy was added to the staff to ensure that school operations would not be affected by large-scale staff outages and reduce the need for internal coverage by staff that could become unreliable and burdensome. The legal line item was reduced by $30,000. Advertising was increased by $27,000 to increase enrollment marketing efforts for student recruitment retainage, with many of the COVID-related restrictions now lifted for increased staff recruiting efforts. I think it's student recruitment efforts. Staff recruiting efforts as well, because we've spent a little bit more on our third-party website through Indeed to try to really, because some of the best staff we've been able to attract mid-year has come from that website. Expense category reclasses between material supplies for computer service, subscription licenses, and instructional supplies, just reclass the expenses from where they originally budgeted for and where the actual expenses were coded. Medical services increased by $55,000 as the school is unable to hire an internal school psychologist and continue to utilize the services of a contracted vendor. Office supplies was initially incorrectly budgeted by the business manager, so it was increased $30,000 to cover costs of paper materials for each of the schools. Equipment was decreased $97,000 as a placeholder for offsetting revenue and expense for $100,000 revenue for the capital campaign, and subsequent purchase was removed. To date, approximately $41,000 has been received relating to capital campaign, and those funds are reserved for that purpose. Each division reviewed their preliminary budget with their actual trends with the business office, which were vetted and amended as necessary. And some of those highlights are, in the athletics department, decreased medical services as the athletic trainer was unable to be secured for FY22. It is anticipated that the identified vendor will be able to fulfill the school's needs in FY23. Additionally, costs related to a potential irrigation system for the field from the preliminary budget with associated fundraising has been removed at this time. In the food service department, purchase of food is volume based, and the production of meals was increased to meet demand. The food expense follows suit. Additionally, the equipment budget was moved to the grants department as a grant was secured to address the kitchen's need for a steamer. In facilities, savings is being recognized for building maintenance items and snow removal for approximately $100,000. This is offset by adding $25,000 in the consultant line item for updated facilities assessment for the bondholders. Increase in custodial supplies are due to slight increase in demand for sanitary materials within the building from a budget recalibration for invoice reclassifications. In the transportation department, increases in personnel from increased redundancy and additions of full-time alternate drivers to ensure that routes are handled with maximum efficiency while there's a national driver shortage. Increases in equipment repair and purchase of replacement parts are offset with savings in reducing our fleet contractual services. Added capital costs include the purchase of two additional spare buses. Aftercare, personnel needs are volume-based and current volume levels are lower than the preliminary budget had assumed, as we mentioned with the revenue. In conclusion, the ending cash balance before spending any of the state required contingency would be $8.3 million. The budget represents a net income of $983,000, a $422,000 increase from the revised preliminary budget. Of the increase from the preliminary budget, $272,000 is attributed to the grants department, or 65%. So much of the savings is going to continue to be restricted on a year-over-year basis unless we're able to do some additional recoding of expenses already incurred. Thus, the increase of non-federally restricted cash is $150,000 from the preliminary budget. An analysis will continue to maximize spending on federal funds where possible. The expected balance of federal funds carried into FY23 will be considered restricted cash within the ending balance. That's where we are from a final budget perspective.
Thanks, Jeff. Anybody have any questions for Jeff? Just general question on the overall budget. Mm-hmm. Salaries were down by roughly $340,000. Does that include substitute salaries as well? All salaries combined was down?
Yeah.
Any reason for that? Just lack of being able to hire?
That's a part of it. Part of it is sort of that summer period too, where the preliminary budget assumes the raise that occurs on July 1st. But in reality, the current employees that are 10-month employees don't see that raise until their new contract starts at the end of August. So there's some of that in there as well. Outside of that, there's not a whole lot. We did see some savings in the maintenance department and in our paraprofessional department as well, just from the preliminary budget. But outside of that, and there's some in the first year utilizing the grants department as part of the preliminary budget, their salaries and OECs were combined in the salary line for that department, when in reality, on a month-over-month basis, the OEC, the other employment costs are pulled out from that too. So where it looks like OECs went up and salaries went down, there is a bit of
play there.
Yeah, a recalibration there too.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Any other questions for Jeff? Do you have any other items you're going to bring up?
I do. I didn't know if we're not going to vote on this first or two together.
Right. You want us to vote on the end of the FY, this is FY22 budget though.
FY22 final budget, yeah. And then I'm going to bring up items for FY23 that we need to approval to have the purchase authority for lead time.
So we have a motion to approve the final budget for FY22. I'll make some motion. We have a second. Aaron seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. Motion carries. Next agenda item.
Yes, so we're looking for approval for purchase authority for some items that we will look to include in the preliminary FY23 budget, but because of lead time and availability, we want to seek approval to procure those items now. So there's three main items. The first being a used bus purchase. We've identified a vendor, Wolfington Body Company, that has used 2019 ICCE 72 passenger buses available for purchase. The cost per bus range from $72,000 to $75,000. We're anticipating purchasing 3 to 4 buses. The deposit required to hold and reserve those is $1,000, with delivery expected in June of 2022. To ensure that they're ready for operation in August. We have done some preliminary talks with financing through Santander Bank, who we have some of our other buses financed through, to explore if needed through the preliminary budget process, if from a cash basis, it makes more sense to finance those. The purchase of these buses allows for the reduction of the first student contract, enrollment expansion potentially, and to continue to serve the Red Clay School District as a contractor going forward. It's not anticipated that we would need any payments outside of the $1,000 deposit until fiscal year 2023. The other item is a Chromebook refresh. Purchase order required with our identified vendor with CDWG, who uses pricing procured through the National Charter School Consortium. In FY22, the refreshment amount was $160,000 for 600 Chromebooks. At this time, we're probably looking at a similar refresh, especially if there's a potential for increased enrollment. Providing a PO likely in April and completing the order would reduce shipping delay risk impacting delivery start for the for school year 22-23. Again, payment not required on these until the goods are delivered, so not likely until FY23. Correct. And the third item is our athletic trainer contract. So as I mentioned in one of the items for the FY22 final budget, we were unable, although we budgeted for one, we were unable to secure an athletic trainer. We were made aware that they do have an athletic trainer available and ready to roll as soon as we're able to sign a contract with them. So the cost of an athletic trainer was included in the FY22 budget for $45,000. The primary vendor for the area is ATI, and they were unable to secure an athletic trainer as demand increased and supply decreased. Now, ATI has a current candidate available for us for school year 22-23. The proposal is a monthly amount of $5,500 or a 10-month annual amount of $55,000. The vendor no longer provides 20-hour week contracting, so this amount is for 40 hours per week. And OCS will cross-utilize the contracted athletic trainer for other needs within the school, whether that be teaching a health class, substituting, nurse support, or something else. And again, no payments of this would be required until fiscal year 2023.
So the 45K was for 40 hours a week?
No, I think that was for 40 hours a week, but I don't, yeah.
So this is a contracted
position. This is a contracted position, basically, and is it, so that's our all-in cost, basically. Mm-hmm. If we brought somebody in full-time to work as an employee, it'd probably be two times plus that.
Possibly.
With all the overhead costs and everything else that goes along with that.
Right. And with our sort of our expanding athletics program and having that presence for home games is kind of crucial, especially where we are with head injuries and things of that. Having a licensed athletic trainer is kind of a big deal.
Is this something that we could hire on as kind of part-time folks that basically come in after school, work 5 days a week, and we could have them on staff basically as direct employees and get more of them for less money? Or
ideally, yes. I think finding a licensed athletic trainer that'd be willing to do that has kind of been a challenge. I know talking with the two athletic directors, Matt Wanham and Kelly Ellis, they've tried to do that over the last couple of years and just had no success. Talking with some of the other sister charter schools, the only way they were able to pull one in was through the contractor service.
Okay. And so this is looking to what, add additional, we have it approved in the 22 budget, the current budget for 45K, but if we're going to get one, it's going to cost more and it's going to be for next year.
Correct.
Let's sign it now so we can engage it.
Okay.
And that's it.
And the full outlay for the buses would be, what's the maximum dollar value that we'd be looking at that? We're talking?
That would be approximately $288,000
for four buses.
Mm-hmm. And if we do wind up deciding that financing is probably the best way to go for where we are for our budgetary needs, we'd come back again and discuss that further as well, because that also may need to be approved through our investors.
Yeah, and I think we have done that previously in the past where it's a, you know, if we can get reasonable financing rates, and because rates are low, it might be a better option to just, instead of putting out $300,000, to put out, you know, a couple grand a month over a short period of time and then sell the buses off or whatever, or just break that cost out over a couple of years.
Yeah, we're looking at a lease agreement.
But yeah, I think we should probably explore the option of purchase and leasing and come up with a plan for that.
Obvious question, there's Delaware spec, no retrofitting needed.
I believe so. That was kind of what was nice about this vendor and what they had identified.
Okay. All right. So motion to approve the request for the three funding areas, looking at use purchase buses, Chromebook refresh, and an athletic trainer contract. We have a motion.
I'll make that motion.
And motions, we have a second for that. Any discussion? Any comments? All right, all in favor?
Thanks, everyone.
Any opposed? Yeah, and I think that approval also includes looking at lease options for that as well too. Going back, so. All right, thank you. Are we good now for that? Everything in public session that we're going to discuss?
We have to do calendar approval, right?
Calendar approval, that's right. So Mr. Pappas sent out the calendar the other week. Preliminary approval for that calendar for next year. Anybody have any questions or comments on the calendar? And that aligns with Red Clay pretty much with all the vacation days and holidays. Okay. A motion to approve the preliminary calendar for next school year.
Awesome.
Ken motions to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Aaron seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. So I think that concludes our public session for this evening. We are going to go into executive session for a few minutes to discuss some real estate transactions.
Thanks for all you're doing.
Thanks, Carl. I thought I could. But I don't think I can right now. We have a motion to go into executive session.
I move we go into executive session.
Paul seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Okay, we're going to go into executive session in a minute. All right, so do we have a motion on the floor?
I motion to approve the real estate transaction as discussed in executive session.
Do we have a second?
I second.
10 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so the motion carries. We're good to go on that. Do we have any other business to discuss? Motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all.
Good night.
I'm not sure that we need to motion to adjourn. I'll have to check that. I think you can just adjourn the meeting just like you convene the meeting, but
I'm not that expert
on Robert's rules, but I'll find out. So maybe we won't have to motion to adjourn. When we're done, we can just adjourn the meeting. All right, everyone, have a good night.
Bye,
thanks for hanging in there so late today.
The flag raising is on the 24th, right?